Let's pray. God, we do humble ourselves before you now and remind ourselves that you are God and we are not. And we say that as much to speak that truth into the world, Father, that your kingdom can be established and your will can be done. And so we remind ourselves again and we speak it into this place, that this is a place, this is a community in our lives, our places where we invite Jesus' lordship. Jesus is Lord. And you promise us that at the declaration of that truth, the evil one will flee. And so we find ourselves now in a place where we can just encounter your truth. So will you please open it up to us? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week, I was in a bit of a funk, I'm not going to lie. I was not experiencing my typical joy-filled moments. And if left to my family to describe me, I'm guessing you might have heard words like grumpy, cranky, uptight, just to name a few. And I know exactly why I was feeling that way. Our youngest son, Chase, was at home, and he was really sick, like really sick. I know some of you have been also really sick, and you know what I mean. But he was also scheduled to be leaving on an 18-day tour of Germany, Austria, and Czechoslovakia. And so I was running around, and I'm buying all the last-minute things you need for traveling, like toothpaste and snacks, and purchasing Euro, and of course the ever-important universal power adapter, right? Because you gotta have your phone charged at all times. Simultaneously, I'm texting back and forth to my son just to make sure I'm monitoring his fever and making sure he had a full snack bowl. That's something that's a thing in our family. And praying that his fever would break and that his cough would finally come under control. All because I was quite concerned that he wouldn't actually be able to get onto this international flight because I was quite worried that his fever would be too high. And I'm doing all of this, of course, while managing my workload here, which leading up to an AGM has not maybe been the lightest workload of the year. Now, finally, on the day before he was to leave, he felt well enough to get out of bed. So the two of us are working at getting him packed, and we laid out all his clothes on his bed, and we practiced our best Marie Kondo folding techniques, and we got everything, all of life's necessities, into this one suitcase. It was quite beautiful. I really wanted to take a picture, actually, but he wouldn't let me. But because he'd been sick, I hadn't been able to sort of parse off out throughout, you know, the week leading up. I hadn't been able to parse out all the information I wanted him to know about travel. And instead, I found myself on this day before he left just doing an information dump. And it was just like trying to get my brain into his brain. He's never even been on a plane before, right? So among all these tips and hints, I kept sharing with him my one mantra. Chase, you can survive losing a whole lot of things, but you cannot lose your passport. If you lose your passport, you're probably not coming home, which now, in retrospect, maybe wasn't a good motivator. But anyways, so throughout the day, I would pop quiz him. I'd say, Chase, what's the most important thing not to lose? And he would inevitably, every single time, say, my playlist. Which, for those of you who maybe aren't in the Apple or the Android age, the playlist is his music, which is on his phone. This is the most important thing to him. It was really, truly the only thing he spent time worried about was his playlist. Every single time, my playlist, he enjoyed teasing me. I was not maybe in my best mood, remember, and so I didn't find it nearly as amusing as he did. Now, looking back on it now, it's actually so plain to me that it's almost comical why I was not my usual self. Because I had crossed into a territory known as overwhelmed. Now, I typically describe my life this way. I say, I live on the borderlands between whelmed and overwhelmed. I love to live a full life. I love to be satisfied to almost overflowing. I love lots of stuff going on. And whelmed is where my heart beats well. But every once in a while, I lose sight of who I am, and I cross into the territory of overwhelmed. And life for me is not good. There is a simple gate that one passes through on the road from whelmed to overwhelmed. It has a toll, which is control, or at least the illusion of control. One must have that to cross into the territory of overwhelmed. I know I'm in the territory of overwhelmed when I start to believe I'm in control and I live my life accordingly. So here I am, I've packed and prepped and purchased and coached Chase for every foreseeable instance. And I'd organized his bags, I'd helped him have a plan for handling his cash, and we'd even come up with a backup plan for his backup plan for losing his wallet. So like, honestly, we have a backup plan and then a backup plan to that backup plan. I'm a bit of a planner, and that might be a bit of an understatement. But Chase was experiencing the full weight of my planning, actually, and how it could kick into high gear, because my worry for his health had translated into this hyperdrive of organization and preparation. No one on that trip was more prepared than Chase, and I don't say that as a brag. I say that as a confession. It is a classic indicator that I was setting up lodging in the land of overwhelmed. I had fully bought into believing that if I could exert my control, I could ensure a bump-free trip for Chase. And in this and so many other things, I was woefully misinformed. We woke up this past morning, Monday morning, really early, like with the time change. It was 2:45 a.m. to take Chase and his buddies out to the airport, and I queried him again, "What's the most important thing not to lose?" And of course he says again, "My playlist." He was ready. He was ready. He had never flown on a plane since 9 months old, but he was ready, and as ready as my overwhelmed heart could muster up. And then he was off. Now, later Monday afternoon, I received a phone call from Chase in Toronto. We had actually prepared this because he'd never been on a plane, right? And so I'd said, maybe you want to check in Toronto because it's the last time you can call for free because it's still cross-Canada calling. So he phones, and I'm on the phone with him, and I just suggested to them, maybe before you get onto the flight, you might want to purchase a bottle of water. It's a really long flight. And he says, "I can't, Mom. I'm out of money." This is 5 hours into his trip. "I'm out of money." What? And he says, "Well, not all my money, just my Canadian money." Still, I had sent him with $40 to buy lunch. And he's out of money. So I said, "Chase," I may have panicked in that moment, and every part of my body kind of clenched up. And I said, "Chase, what have you done with your money?" And he said, "Well, We went for lunch, and I kind of panicked ordering, and so I just ordered the special, and when it arrived, I couldn't eat any of it. It was all food I don't eat, and so then I had to order again, and then when I paid the bill, it was so expensive. Mom, did you know food in airports is really expensive?" "Yes, Chase, I know. I am aware of this." Well, in that moment, I thought, how do I exercise my control over this scenario? And I said, "Chase," in my firm voice, "Chase, you'll have to do better ordering in the future. You'll have to ask questions, or you're going to spend all your money and you're going to be very hungry on your trip." And he says, "I'll do better, Mom." And we hung up the phone. And in that moment, my body just ached. I had not even heard how his first flight was because I was so absorbed in managing him. Todd Warner is a blogger for the website Paythios, and he says it this way. He says, "It's not our duty or even our ability to anticipate the uncertain or to perfect the imperfectible." Thanks, Todd. That's helpful. Still, I will try. The next morning, I awoke to an email from our son, Chase. The subject line simply read, "Lost my phone." Unbelievably, after 36 hours of travel at what was his first pit stop on the Autobahn in Germany, Chase left his phone in a bathroom. That's right, he lost his playlist. I loved it. The irony in this was fabulous. Now, there are miracle after miracle and kindness after kindness about how Chase is absolutely going to be reunited with this phone this week, which is amazing. But none are more significant than this grace. God, at that moment, welcomed me back to my homeland of whelmed. I was set free from any illusion that I could control my outcome. And I finally surrendered in prayer, which is what I should have been doing all week. And peace finally came. Now, I'm sharing that with you. It's your turn to participate a little bit. So I have a list of things where I think maybe you may have experienced some of the feelings in that story. So what I'm going to do, because you've been sitting for quite a while, and that's not good when you're listening. So what I'm going to get you to do is I'll stand up. Can you all stand up? Or at least like sit up really straight. But if you're able to, stand up. And I'm going to read a list of places where you may feel overwhelmed. If any of these at any time resonate with you, you simply sit down. Okay? So you don't have to stand back up and sit down, although you might hear one and go, oh yeah, that's so me, I got to stand up and sit back down again. But once you hear one that resonates with you, take a seat. You may feel overwhelmed if your calendar is full to overflowing. Your days are just flying by. You may feel overwhelmed if your calendar is virtually unused and your days seem to drag on. You may feel overwhelmed if your work life is busy and moving at a breakneck pace. Lost a few of you there. Or you may feel overwhelmed if your work life is non-existent and you hardly feel like you can move. You may feel overwhelmed if you have too many balls up in the air and you're worried they're starting to drop. Or if you wish you had a ball to pick up, but you have no idea what lies ahead of you. You may feel overwhelmed if your life has been going along great and all of a sudden you have a really big decision to make about your future. Or your life hasn't turned out anything like you decided it would and your future doesn't seem to be going anywhere. That one hit home, totally, yeah. You may feel overwhelmed if your kids are bouncing off the wall and you would just like 5 minutes of quiet and string your thoughts together. Or if your home is empty, but your brain is full and your thoughts are spinning round and round. Oh, what you wouldn't give for some kind of temporary distraction. You may feel overwhelmed if you work out daily, watch what you eat, do everything in your power to keep healthy and strong, but the experts keep changing the metrics. Or if your illness or the illness of someone you love is stronger than your desire for them or yourself to be healthy. You may feel overwhelmed if you've been keeping a lot of things together for a lot of people for a long time, but no one seems to have their eye on you. Or even if you don't want to open your eyes because everything around you seems to be falling apart. You may feel overwhelmed if you feel a deep sense of purpose and calling, but the obstacles ahead seem insurmountable. Or if the road ahead is wide open and you're left to wonder what your purpose in life might be. You may feel overwhelmed if you know exactly who you are, exactly what you want to do, and you just need to keep on keeping on. Or if you have no idea who you are. You may feel overwhelmed because life is full to overflowing, or simply life has become way too overwhelming. And you may feel overwhelmed if you bought into the notion that God only helps those who help themselves, or if you've bought into the lie that you are God. Now, if you're still standing, you have a task this morning because you've probably figured something out that others haven't. Your role is to be an intercession, to be praying for all those seated around you, because clearly overwhelm is something we feel. Everyone can be seated now. There's a really cool feature on Google when you search for the definition of a word. And so this past week, I looked up both the definition of whelmed and overwhelmed. And something really interesting poked up there. It sort of tracks, when you have these definitions on Google, if you go down to the bottom, it tracks the usage with a graph of words over time. And it's about the last 250 years. Tracks from about the 1800s. Something really interesting came up there for those two words. In the 1800s, whelmed and overwhelmed were very commonly used words. They have a high usage. But then it starts to lower and peter out and hits a real low, like virtually not in our language in the mid-20th century. And then something really interesting happens. Whelmed as a word continues to decrease in usage, to virtual obscurity. In fact, I think I'm like one of the few people in the world who uses the word whelmed these days. Overwhelmed, though, does something different. And by the end of the 20th century, its usage is climbing and climbing and climbing till today's usage has almost reached the same peak of the 1800s. Now, I can only speculate as to what that means, but it literally demonstrates an entire population of people have moved from whelmed to overwhelmed. The internet is full of advice, but what you should do if you feel overwhelmed, how to manage it, great, really practical advice. Things like reduce your stress, relax, go with the flow. These are all things I literally read on advice columns. I'm like, really? If I could do all those things, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be feeling overwhelmed. Very unhelpful. But Jesus knows the human heart well. He understands our temptation to rely on our own means, to control circumstances. And he knows that in those efforts, we will inevitably fail. He also knows that from the beginning of time, there has been an enemy whose agenda is to deceive and destroy us. And my experience is that Jesus' teaching have life-changing truths embedded into them. And I believe that as we hear them, he doesn't just ask us to add to our already overwhelmed hearts. Instead, actually, he invites us to engage in a reorientation of our souls. And that's where we can expect the transforming touch of God. The two passages from Matthew that we heard read this morning, thanks Todd for doing that, they both serve to address this question, why am I so overwhelmed? Now, I realize the context for Matthew 5 is embedded in a discussion about oath-making or truth-telling, but still, I hear in these lines a clarion tone that invites both conviction and consolation of our overwhelmed heart. Hear the words again. It says, but I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for that is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or in Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you can't make even one hair white or black. Why am I so overwhelmed? Because I'm not God, but I act like I am. Why am I so overwhelmed? Because my words are writing checks that my humanity cannot cash. Why am I so overwhelmed? Because I've forgotten who I am. I don't control outcomes. I experience them. And the gift of Jesus' Emmanuel nature is that I don't have to experience them alone. God's with me always. But I am not all-powerful. God alone holds that quality. Now, it's not wrong for a mother to help her son organize for his European adventure, but helping should fuel something in me. Helping should bring about that whelmed feeling, the satisfaction of being helpful. But crossing over into the territory of overwhelmed will almost certainly have involved buying into the lie that managing and planning and asserting my desires will make my will be done. Why am I overwhelmed? Because I'm believing the lie that I'm God. And it is a lie. There is a God, but I am not God. So what does God's word offer to us as truth in the face of feeling overwhelmed? I want to suggest that there's two truths that these passages hold, concrete practices that will direct us away from the territory of overwhelmed and back home to whelmed. First, we need to welcome limitations. Now, I remind myself all the time, Jesus is a really smart guy, being God and all, right? So he had the opportunity to give teaching. He can teach it any way he wants. He could have just stood up when he was talking about oath making and said, tell the truth. But instead, he instructs his followers this way. He says, let your yes mean yes, and let your no mean no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Now, I wonder why he uses that framework to talk about oaths. Could it be that he was addressing more than just telling the truth? Perhaps he's addressing what it looks like to be a people who are living the truth. The truth that there is a God, but I'm not God. I'm someone who, in order to say yes to something, likely needs to say no to something. Letting my yes mean yes means I need to get used to also saying no. This is much harder than it sounds. Maybe you already know that. Because it's my experience that in the Christian community, learning to say no is one of the hardest words to ever utter. How, when there are so many great opportunities to serve, when there are so many wonderful ways to be involved in the mission of God, and how, when there are so many folks who desperately need the gospel, how does one not feel overwhelmed by the level of need and the enormity of the call on our lives? Well, I believe we must welcome limitations. We are not God. God is unlimited. We are not God. So when we say yes to something, we will probably say no to something. We're people who have limitations. We're not God. As a leader in this church, I have been learning to lean into my limitations. It's not easy. I've been learning that although I love you all dearly, I can't meet with you as often as I'd like. That's hard. But saying yes to some of the things the position requires of me means saying no to some of the things that I love to do. As a church on mission to make Jesus known, we've also been learning about our limitations. Saying yes to Camp Imadine, to Esquimalt Community Youth, to Operation Christmas Child, the Global Advance Fund, these are great things. But it has also involved saying no to many other worthwhile causes. That doesn't mean we don't value the work or the people involved with them. It simply means that we're expecting God's transformation as we practice the discipline of remembering that we're not God. We cannot do everything because we are limited. And we're learning to let our yes truly mean yes, like a fully engaged, full speed ahead, all in kind of yes. And part of that is to entrust to God the things to which we have to say no to. God is God and we are not. And in our day, as we plan as individuals, in our corporate decision makings as a faith family, we wait in trust for the Lord to transform us as we practice this act of humbling ourselves and welcoming the limitations of being human while being connected to this unlimited God. We foil the enemy's agenda every time we remind ourselves we're not God, every single time. We who desire to be full, satisfied, whelmed with an abundant life, Jesus promised we will lean into the limitations of our humanity if we are to experience that, renouncing any grasp at being our own deities. And such a posture of humility is the breeding ground for the transforming touch of Jesus. It's through him that abundant life has ever been granted in the first place. Now, alongside this welcoming of limitations, there's a second practice that battles back the feeling of being overwhelmed. When feeling overwhelmed, we're invited to switch loads. Switch loads. In Matthew 11, the words of Jesus are captured this way: "Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." So often when I speak to people who are facing overwhelming circumstances, the common question I hear from them is, what should I do? And when I hear that word should, I admit it's a red flag for me, because it's frequently used as code for asking, what is it that others expect of me? What is the standard I have to attain? What is the move that's going to look good here? What have others done before me, which now they expect of me? This is an overwhelming load to bear. The followers of Jesus were not very different than you or I. They too wondered what was expected of them, what hoops that they would have to jump through to please God, what was the minimum standard for salvation. What should they do And asking such a question, it quickly becomes overwhelming because the standards, they often change. Depending on, you know, the company you keep, or depending on the political climate you're in, or depending on your familiarity to those around you. What you should do depends on so many factors, and who really knows who makes those rules anyway? The load borne by an overwhelmed spirit is weighted by the expectations of an insatiable crowd of people that we often count as our friends. Anthony DeMello spoke of this burden in his book. It's called The Way to Love, and this is what he writes. He says, "Take a look at yourself, spending almost every waking moment of your day placating and pleasing people. Whether they're living or dead, you live by their norms, conform to their standards, seek their company, desire their love, dread their ridicule, long for their applause, meekly submit to the guilt they lay upon you. You're terrified to go against the fashion in the way you dress or speak or act or even think." No wonder we so often find ourselves feeling overwhelmed. What a load that is to bear. And hear me on this. Jesus did not come to add to that load. He invites you to switch loads. Switch loads. His load is easy and light. It doesn't ask you what you should do. It simply assures you over and over again, "I'm with you. Follow me. I'll give you rest." I remember a little while back, I was here at the church and I met with someone they were looking for some advice. This individual was feeling overwhelmed by the prospect of balancing the demands of their busy life with the demands of a friend who is in need with some significant health issues. And the person had clearly been carrying this heavy burden to be a good and faithful ally and trying to meet every expectation of their friend. "What should I do?" was at the heart of our discussion. So we prayed. And I shared with this person the image I saw during my prayer. It was Jesus placing his yoke upon this individual and inviting them to rest. It's not our job to figure out what to do. It's an invitation to walk with Jesus and keep in step with him. And in doing so, you know what happens? All of a sudden, the question changes. It's no longer, "What should I do?" The question becomes, "What does it look to love like Jesus?" The weight of expectation is lifted and the yoke becomes bearable. And it moves us forward gently, compassionately, and lightly. It's far too overwhelming to meet the expectations of others, but our lives can be beautifully whelmed with abundant life when we walk under this light, gentle lordship of Jesus, for he is God. He alone is able to face every situation with limitless resource. He alone is able to bear the weight of this hurting and fallen world. And he alone makes good on his promise to give you rest. So to the overwhelmed, whoever you are, wherever you are right now, please hear these truths and walk in them. God is God. We are not. We have limitations. Welcome them. We're invited to switch loads and to walk in step with Jesus. And it's here that we should expect to encounter the transforming touch of Jesus. For with him, our souls can truly rest. And with him, our souls experience a fully whelmed, never overwhelmed life. Let's pray. God, you know our heart, you know our lives, you know where we're at. You alone are God. And so, Father, will you speak with us this morning about where our limitations are, where we have been pushing against them, flailing against them, believing the lie that we're God? Will you bring correction? And Father, will you give us the courage to come before Jesus and switch loads? Spirit, will you empower us to humble ourselves and to step in step with our leading Lord? For we all need rest. Please keep working with us, walking with us, speaking with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.